everybody. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. And New Year's is coming. Out here, I'm in Southern California. Just 38 miles north of San Diego. It's called Oceanside. And they're having a lot of checkpoints all over the place. Escondido, Poway, Encinitas, Solana Beach, all up and down the coast. And if you check in your area, I suggest you, if you're going to drink, don't drive. And they have free services. Taxi will take you home. They have people that will come and drive your car to your house for a donation. I mean, it's worth that 20 or 30 bucks or 50 bucks, whatever it is, as opposed to over 10 grand. And you'll stay, if you get popped on Friday or Saturday, you're going to stay till Monday or Tuesday when you get to see a judge. It's not worth it to anybody. But I got a list of people send me emails. And I hate it when that does that. We got some people trying to disrupt the show again. But I got an email today, as a matter of fact, and I've been getting them since last Thursday. But people want to hear the rant to Obama. So this is Thelonious Monk. He's talking to President Obama.
This is to the government, the United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, V. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? Your bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State, bastards. You would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your, ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills, because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
As you can read it, I wrote it in the chat room. I gave a little warning because the language is rough, but it's protected by the First Amendment, which is one of the reasons we're here. There's no 7-second delay. There's no, well, Big Brother's watching and listening. Sometimes they try to disrupt the show, and to them I say, get fucked. But you can, if you got a rant or you're pissed off and you want to talk, the number to call in is 347-826-7753. As soon as I see you in, I'll bring you on. If something's going on, wait till it ends, and I'll bring you right in. But this guy was so on that hopefully someone in Congress or the Senate or anywhere in Washington will listen to this and the fucking light bulbs will go off. But the other one I got a request for was, I've been playing this for a little bit now, both of these, because when I get the requests, I'll play them for you guys. This one is by George Carlin. It's called, I'm sorry. This one's by George Carlin. It's called The American Dream. cue that up and I'll play that for you. I'll be right back.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better.
Hang on.
But there's a reason. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Hit the nail on the head. The other one I got was, and I just want to get this out of the way because I'm waiting for a couple of callers. But the other one I got was, You Have No Rights by George Carlin.
Customs. Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand in the Bible, let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward,
or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside-down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside-down backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you.
Oh, shit. Hang on. I hate it when these guys do that. I'm going to start an elders.
Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand on the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And what? Why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand on the Bible and let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside-down, backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kid. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you ever, remember when you were a kid, if you told another kid something he didn't quite believe, he'd say, you swear to God? I would always say, yeah, I swear to God, even if I was lying. Why not? What's going to happen if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie. Unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story. Sometimes a kid would think he was being slick with me, and he'd say, you swear on your mother's grave? I'd say, yeah. Why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, even if she was dead, what's she going to do, rise from the grave and come and haunt me?
come and haunt me? All because I told a lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you? Sometimes I would say, I swear on my mother's tits. Kids are impressed with things like that. I mean, I don't care about my mother's tits either. I don't care if they fell off. Fuck her. It's not my problem. They're your tits, Ma. You keep an eye on them. Swearing to God doesn't mean anything. Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because Bible or no Bible, God or no God, if it suits their purposes, people are going to lie in court. The police do it all the time. All the time. Yes, they do. It's part of their job to protect, to serve, and to commit perjury whenever it supports the state's case. Swearing on the Bible is just one more way of controlling people and keeping them in line, and it's one more thing that holds us back as a species. Here's one more item for you, the last in our civics book, rights. Boy, everyone in this country is always running around yammering about their fucking rights. I have a right, you have no right, we have a right, they don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun, but there's no such thing as rights, okay? They're imaginary. We made them up, like the boogeyman. The three little pigs, Pinocchio, Mother Goose, shit like that. Rights are an idea. They're just imaginary. They're a cute idea. Cute. But that's all. Cute and fictional. But if you think you do have rights, let me ask you this. Where do they come from? People say, well, they come from God. They're God-given rights. Oh, fuck. Here we go again. Here we go again. The God excuse. The last refuge of a man with no answers and no argument. It came from God. Anything we can't describe must have come from God. Personally, folks, I believe that if your rights came from God, he would have given you the right to some food every day, and he would have given you the right to a roof over your head. God would have been looking out for you. God would have been looking out for you. You know that? He would have been worried about making sure you have a gun so you get drunk on Sunday night and kill your girlfriend's parents. But let's say it's true. Let's say God gave us these rights. Why would he give us a certain number of rights? The Bill of Rights of this country has 10 stipulations, okay? 10 rights. And apparently God was doing sloppy work that week because we've had to amend the Bill of Rights an additional 17 times. So God forgot a couple of things, like slavery. Just fucking slipped his mind. But let's say God gave us the original 10. He gave the British 13. The British Bill of Rights has 13 stipulations. The Germans have 29. The Belgians have 25. The Swedish have only 6. And some people in the world have no rights at all. What kind of a fucking goddamn God-given deal is that? No rights at all? Why would God give different people in different countries different numbers of different rights? Boredom? Amusement? Bad arithmetic? Do we find out at long last, after all this time, that God is weak in math skills? Doesn't sound like divine planning to me. Sounds more like human planning. Sounds more like one group trying to control another group. In other words, business as usual in America. Now, if you think you do have rights, one last assignment for you. Next time you're at the computer, get on the internet, go to Wikipedia. When you get to Wikipedia, in the search field for Wikipedia, I want you to type in Japanese Americans 1942, and you'll find out all about your precious fucking rights, okay? All right. You know about it. You know about it. Yeah. In 1942, there were 110,000 Japanese American citizens in good standing, law-abiding people who were thrown into internment camps simply because their parents were born in the wrong country. That's all they did wrong. They had no right to a lawyer, no right to a fair trial, no right to a jury of their peers, no right to due process of any kind. The only right they had, right this way, into the internment camps. Just when these American citizens needed their rights the most, their government took them away. And rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. You see how soon it is? Yeah. Sooner or of the people in this country, you've got to realize the government does not give a fuck about them. Government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a fuck about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing, keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. Personally, when it comes to rights, I think one of two things is true. I think either we have unlimited rights or we have no rights at all. Personally, I lean toward unlimited rights. I feel, for instance, I have the right to do anything I please. But if I do something you don't like, I think you have the right to kill me. So where are you going to find a fairer fucking deal than that? So the next time some asshole says, do I have a right to my opinion? You say, oh yeah, well I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is you have no right to your opinion. Then shoot the fuck and walk away. Thank you. Customs. Swearing on the
Okay. I think we're going to have a caller who's going to call in and talk about some movies she's making. She's been on the show before. I'll let her tell you who she is and what she's doing. And it's going to be an interesting night. We're going to have all facets of this coming up. And the other thing is, wanted to play one song while I do a couple of things here. I hate to do this, but when Bill's not here, I usually do the typing and talking, and Bill covers for me when I'm doing that. But right now I'm going to play, it's a song called One Percenter. It's by Mike P, the Big Homie, and I'll be right back.
It's a Hollywood Mike P, and they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community, but I just represent freedom. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. And the cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's the American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't play me, gang. You made me this way. I'm a bitch in a cage filled up with rage. Take off that mask or kick your ass all day. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that 1% but not some of the hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown, you better make room. I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway crying with my middle finger up like fuck the world. I don't give a fuck. This ain't a represent the bad community. But what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that's nothing but hood.
Hello there, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
All right.
We have all facets of things going on tonight. And usually I try and get all the email requests out of the way. And I'll play a song and then I go to the callers. But you and I had a discussion earlier today and I brought you on. I stopped the song.
Oh, yeah, well, some interesting stuff going on, huh? What were you discussing earlier on the show? I missed the first 15 minutes.
Well, we had a guy who, I don't know if you ever heard this guy, his name is Thelonious Monk, and he played he made a rant to Obama.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
I've heard
of that. Okay, and then
I've heard of both of them. I've heard of him, and I've heard of Obama, too.
Yeah. Have you heard what he says?
No.
Okay. I can play it if you want.
No,
hear
that's all. That's all right. Just to sum it up for me.
Sum it up for you. Well, basically, he told B, as he calls Barack, pay your fucking bills.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have to, huh?
Exactly. Then he said, why are you borrowing all the money from China? He told him, how am I supposed to tell my daughter how things are going to be when we're borrowing everything from communist China? And he said, if you owe any money to the government, fuck paying it. They're not paying their bills, so why should we?
Yeah, that's interesting. I could say, I could make a case that two wrongs don't make a right. But, you know, the bad thing about this is other governments who are not getting paid, they don't look at Barack Obama as being the bad guy. It's the whole country. So we're all going to take the rap for something that we can't fix. These guys won't fix it. They refuse to fix it. In fact, there is more evidence to the fact that it is being done on purpose than to the opinion that it's that our country's being screwed by accident. It's being done on purpose. I firmly believe that. Not a conspiracy theorist at all, but all you have to do is go look from in history. You have literally hundreds of years of proof that socialism/communism agendas need to take a long time and a under cover of darkness methodology in order to achieve their goals, because people won't, in the light of day, if you show them the choice between a government that, for example, the United States was intended to be, the way it started out as a freedom, freedom-loving and freedom-generating government, versus a government like a communist government, no one will choose the communist government. No one will choose tyranny over freedom. No one. So everything from way, way, way back to very recent, like Cloward and Piven strategy. If people haven't heard of that, look that up. The Cloward and Piven strategy has spawned 45 years of government waste being done on purpose, so that even more government waste can be done on purpose, so that the eventual collapse of the United States will be the result.
Right. And then the other one we touched on was George Carlin, and he's got a little thing he does called the American Dream, which where he says you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that there's that's true. That's true. I you know, it depends on how, you know, George Carlin was paid to it's funny because comedians have to have a little bit of, there has to be a little bit of truth in comedy, otherwise it's not quite funny enough. But
right.
It can't be completely truthful, otherwise it's just not funny.
Exactly.
So, I mean, to people who look at Jon Stewart or Jay Leno to get their political ideas, they're asking for trouble, because you're going to be fooled, you know, three-fourths of the time.
Right.
But yeah, I think that, you know, the question today has to be, you know, is it too late, or is there still time to fix the problem? And if you say it's too late, then of course it's not going to get fixed, because no one's going to do anything. There's no sense in expending energy that's not going to be useful or efficient and have a result. But if you think it's not too late and you do something about it, you're either going to you're bound to have some effect, a positive effect.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to get fixed before I pass on. It probably won't get fixed when my kids pass on. But probably maybe my grandchildren will have a chance.
Maybe, but if you have to, speaking of comedians, you know, I remember a guy named Gallagher that used to smash watermelons and stuff, but one of the things that he used to say, what he thought was important, he says, you have to look ignorance and stupidity in the face, otherwise it'll continue to be ignorance and stupidity. And
right.
in that regard, Carlin and he were saying the same thing, just in different ways. But I'll tell you what, I believe the Gallagher quote is more meaningful because it can be used in so many different situations, not just pointed at specific instances the way a lot of Carlin's stuff was. What do we got going as motorcyclists? It's pretty obvious. We got a huge target on our back. And the problem that we see if we see any at all, if we see what's going on, we see the problem is our Fourth Amendment rights are being violated. Well, you have to look ignorance and stupidity in the face, otherwise it'll continue to be that. So how do we do that? And what is it? What? How do you recognize it? You know, many times it starts out as the police officer says, license and registration, and then he says, where are you headed? And the people who answer the question, you know, we have to look at them in the face and wake them up and shake them and say, listen, don't throw away things that are valuable. Do not give up your Fourth Amendment right.
Exactly.
Do not give it up. It's too valuable. Well, I got places to go. I don't have time to be dicked with and maybe have my bike towed and all that. Oh, really? So towing of your bike is more valuable than your Fourth Amendment rights. Well, then, by God, give your bike away. Because
exactly.
The bike is a problem.
Exactly.
I mentioned to you, we were talking about this earlier, Phil. You know, what's more important? All your belongings in your house, your family, your kids, if you have kids, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is, your things, the walls themselves. What's more important? All that stuff, everything in your house, or the $40, the $80 front door lock? And anybody in their right mind would say, well, of course, all the stuff. My kids are way more important than a $80, quick set lock from China.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. But if that's
the case,
and I
can open with a hammer.
Yeah, right, exactly. But if that's the case, then and you worry more, do more about your kids, you focus on your kids so much that you forget to lock the front door or that you don't even bother, why waste money on a front door lock when I want to do more for my
kids? At that point, why even have a door?
Yeah, exactly. I used to have a neighbor that talked about, I never lock my front door because I like open borders. I have an open border policy, and I think the United States should too. Oh, that's great. Yeah, if there was no such thing as a bad guy in the world, and there was no such thing as an enemy, and there was no such thing as evil, or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Cool. But you know what? Go ahead and keep your eyes closed. Just might run into a wall that way, but...
Yeah.
Wake up, open our eyes, be real and honest with ourselves, and do a little investigation to find out what's being done. Is the world the way it was 60 years ago? No.
No.
So what do we do to counteract that? We get pulled over, and a police officer says, I get to do whatever I want. Now, 60 years ago, police officers didn't have the carte blanche that they have now. The courts have given them a lot of abilities that they didn't have before. And
right.
The courts should not have given that away. But... they did. But find where the line is. You got to find the line. And when the police cross the line, it's your duty as an American citizen to stop that.
Right. We have two other ladies that want to chime in here. Let me bring them in.
Good.
One you know and the other one I'm going to introduce you to.
All right.
Hello, Alicia.
Hey. Sorry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm dog sitting my neighbor's next door and he's going crazy. Sorry
oh,
about that.
Okay.
He's so excited.
Well, you're a very attractive lady. That's probably why he's excited. But if it gets too loud, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to bring in the other lady friend that you've met before. Hello,
okay.
Friend.
Yeah, I guess he has met me before. At some point, we'll actually go on a long ride together too. That'd be kind of nice.
There you go. Well, we got Mark in Sacramento.
Yep.
We've got Alicia out of
Pennsylvania.
And we've got Fran out of San Diego.
Oh, my gosh. It's a big triangle.
There you go.
Hey, if your dog's anything like my dog, he's barking just because he knows you're on the phone.
Well, Mark, let me enlighten you a little bit. Alicia, you might want to tell Mark what you do. And, Mark, you might, or if you're sitting down, you might want to sit down for this one. Go ahead, Alicia.
Well, I do modeling, and I am in the adult as film industry. So I'm
have I seen you?
I don't know. Have you?
Name something you're in.
We're actually, we only have our own stuff out right now. We are in the process of trying to get the Hangover parody together. So hopefully when that comes out, you'll be able to know, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking to.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen a picture of you in an email that Phil sent me.
Well, no. And if you want to check her out, she's been Baby of the Week a few times already, and it's my blog. But I'll send you a picture of her, Mark.
All right, will do. Good. Thanks.
Did you get the pictures that I sent you recently?
Yes, I did, and they got handed out yesterday. I was off yesterday, and I went down to the VA and handed them out, and you were a big hit again.
Oh, good. All right, that's good.
Well, so, Alicia, why do you call the Phil and Bill Show? Are you a big First Amendment proponent, and you fight for your First Amendment rights?
Yeah, actually, yes. And speaking of that, we're actually having a problem, and I don't even know if I should say it, but we're, you know, talk about First Amendment and everything. Facebook has given us a hard time again.
Yeah.
They're just limiting just the number of friends. You know, people request me as a friend, and we're on hold for 30 days. And this is the second time that we've set up a Facebook friend. The first one was somehow hacked into, they said, and something tells me that this one's going to be the same thing. It's going to happen again. So, you know, we were smart enough to at least print out all of our friends list, so if it happens again, we can reach out to everybody, but the same thing's going to happen. So, you know, it's everything. You can't even do anything without anyone looking over your shoulder anymore.
Right.
You know, Facebook, that was supposed to be something that you were allowed to go out and reach out to people, and they're limiting you. And, you know,
well, for you, is Facebook the one messing with you, or is the law enforcement using Facebook to screw with you?
You know what? I think it's just Facebook. It's not law enforcement, because, you know, we've been on there blogging and putting things out there, you know, I guess their comment page, and it just seems like they're hitting a lot of people right now maybe not shutting them down, but putting them on hold for a while. So of course it's not as bad as what's happening to, you know, to the bikers and stuff like that, but it's still, you know, when you're trying to get out there, you know, we have the calendar to sell and everything like that, it just kind of puts a hold on everything. And
yeah, well, you'd have to, well, let me ask you this. I don't mean to be the throw a wet blanket on the party here, but see, that to me, that doesn't sound like a First Amendment issue. If I have a personal opinion or something I want to sell, I cannot. I live here in Sacramento. I can't sue for First Amendment rights violations. I can't sue the local newspaper for not putting me in their editorial section. I can't sue them for not advertising me in a news story or advertising my products or whatever because I called them and told them I have a product. But if I buy an ad in their paper that's not violating any laws, they should publish that ad then, right?
They should.
Yep. Yeah, but Facebook is free. It's a company that relies on advertising to be able to do all the other stuff they do for free. And are you buying advertising from them?
No.
Well, so see why I don't think that's a First Amendment issue, but
no, it probably isn't. But it just irritates me because there's no, there's supposed to be a social network, and if they limit you, you know, is that really? It's not fair that they do that, but they're allowed to do it for no reason.
Well, no, it's for a reason. I think it is maybe for a reason. I'm not taking their side. I'm just saying if you're one of the one in a million people that actually reads all that six pages of fine print before you say, I accept, then you probably would have read the reason. But here's the cool thing about the United States and the system of government, which is it's the worst system of government in the world, except for all the rest of them. Hopefully you caught that joke. The worst system, except for all the rest of them, is the neat thing is about it, Alicia, if you don't like Facebook, you can start Alicia Book, and you can make your own Facebook company call it something other than Facebook because they probably have that copyrighted or whatever. That's
right.
What's cool about it. And then you can advertise your stuff as much as you want.
Great.
And if
yeah.
it's better than Facebook, I bet you there's a million people that'll jump to it because everybody's dissatisfied with Facebook right now.
Right. Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Oh, see, you know, and I didn't want to do that. I was a wet blanket. I'm sorry. But ever since Oprah was sued by the cattle industry, the meat industry 30 years ago, and she won, she was saying some stuff on her TV show about why you shouldn't eat meat or how you can't trust meat. It was like the mad cow scare, that era,
right.
You know. She won her case, and she came out of the courthouse and said, yeah, the First Amendment still applies. And I thought to myself, she's lost her mind. That has nothing to do with the First Amendment because
right.
she had a business.
Yeah.
She had a business, and she was saying something about that other business, and that other business sued her for what she said, and they won. Had nothing to do with, see, the basic idea with all of the amendments is that they originally and still should be thought of as your protection from the government. Because if it's not, for example, the best example I can give you as to why they're different, the Fourth Amendment protects you from the government, coming in and taking you or taking your stuff without a warrant. Unreasonable searches and seizures. Okay, so if that's not specifically to protect you from the government, then what do we need the laws that protect you from people stealing your stuff? That's what is that for?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So you figure that the First Amendment, Second Amendment, all the amendments to protect you from the government, and then the laws protect you from me. Well, actually, you don't need to be protected from me. You need to be protected from Phil. But, you know.
Oh, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah. But see, I'm just, you know, that's just an example. They're protected from me, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, like, if you could prove that the police were messing with your, and I know the police use Facebook to find out all kinds of stuff about you. And I'd like to say right now, if you see anybody on your Facebook pages saying, "Hey, I have a cool idea, let's play a game," I actually saw this.
Really?
Some friend of a friend or whatever on my Facebook page. Somebody said, "Hey, I have an idea, let's play a game." Everybody post, everybody comment and reply to mine. Here's my the place. The city and state I was born in, everybody put their own city and state you were born in. And I thought to myself, what kind of idiot is this? Next
right.
thing we ought to do is, okay, now everybody post your mother's maiden name.
Oh,
and then
when
we're all done with that, everybody post the name of your dog, right? Then we've given away all of our our questions and answers for security purposes that we have on our, you know, on different websites or whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Do people know it?
Smarter than this, you know.
Yeah, really. That should have sent off a red flag.
Yeah.
And they're listening right now.
Oh, I'm sure. So
they're here right now. They're in the chat room.
What's interesting, though, is what we can do if we work with the police to make the police a better police force. Like I've been doing in my area, we want to make the police a proper police force. Well, I don't want to stop the police from doing what their duty is, but I don't want them to overstep what their duty is. They shouldn't cross a line into territory they're not supposed to be in.
Right.
It becomes a little bit of a surprise when I meet with police departments and they, you know, because they immediately. You know how police are. Before you show up, you've got a meeting with them. Before you show up, they already know who you are and everything about you. And from a website that I'm the webmaster of the Bolt of California website, and they immediately think I'm anti-police officer, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And, you know, by the time we shake hands and part ways, they know better. But,
right. Wow.
We just had a, Phil, I wanted to let you in on this. We just had a, or did I tell you about this? We just had a training session with a police department in Northern California.
No.
There's a particular police force who made some mistakes, a bunch of helmet tickets, and they found out the hard way that you can't be doing that. And they said, hey, you know, okay, we made some mistakes. All right, well, sounds like you know more than we do, so why don't you come in and tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to this, when it comes to helmet tickets and Fourth Amendment violations, and how do you write them and what do you look for? A little over 2.5 hours of a seminar. I didn't even charge them. It was free of charge.
Right.
So we'll see how that all pans out to seeing if they take my word for it, if they look further into the case law and other laws that they had not looked at before. A lot of times you just don't know. Police are they're not used to taking...
they're not used to being taken to task.
Yeah, well, I didn't want, you know, didn't go in there puffing my chest out and telling me you screwed it all up. Look, here's what you want to do from now on. Don't be doing. I just show them, you know, because it's not like I'm not generating any of this stuff. I'm just showing them what's there in the law. And
exactly.
There's quite a few laws now that takes more. It takes more than reading one law to understand the complete aspect of how to enforce that.
Well, look at that one that comes out January 1st, okay? You can't open carry a handgun anymore, but according to the way this thing is written, you can carry a rifle or a shotgun now.
Right. Well, you always could, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully they won't take that away, too, because... The interesting thing is, like, up here in Sacramento County, the sheriffs used to have a policy where, you know, they would give you a concealed weapons permit. It was on the fat chance basis. Fat chance you're going to get one, so they'd hand out, like, I think just in the year 2011, after the agreement was made to take Sacramento County off of the lawsuit, the county agreed, take us off the lawsuit and we will issue the concealed weapons permits as apparently the law does read. We should issue them to people who are not felons and who are, you know, who have a valid reason, and the valid reason being I need to protect myself and my family. And
right.
So they handed out, they issued, of course they made money on this, but they issued more concealed weapons permit in 2011 than they have in every other year that they have ever issued concealed weapons permits combined. So more in 2011 than any time in history combined altogether.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to have the equality and equal access to higher education. They're doing domestic partnership equality law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have that bullying law.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have protection of the parent-child relationship laws, the gender, equal benefits law, reduced to applicant employment demographics inclusion law. You know, the
gate,
all kinds of internet sales tax. Braun signed that one. He wants
so
to get some of the money.
Is it sounds like there won't be any problems to tackle in 2012. They're all fixed, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Isn't it interesting, though, that it seems like, now get this, the more laws they pass to fix problems, the more problems there are to fix. I do believe that's being done on purpose. The farther government or those who pass laws, the farther we get away from the constitutional principles that were put in place in 1789, the worse things get. And you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius to figure out that that's what's happening. So why do they create more problems by passing more laws that create more problems? Because that's these people are not stupid. They are accomplishing exactly what they want to accomplish. It's not a screw-up. You know, for those who don't like the direction Barack Obama is taking, he's not making mistakes. He's doing exactly what he wants to do.
Well, you know, they got another one now that they've had for a while, but cities and counties were doing this, and they were writing the laws their own, but the circumcision law. If your kid's born and you want to cut off the, you know, you got a right to do that now. Or they were bitching that certain towns and cities couldn't do it. So they came up with a law for that.
You mean in a municipality they said you couldn't? There was rules against
it? Yes. Cities and counties had their own laws. And everybody pressed for that to get... It's effective immediately. They already enforced this in 2011, but they put it out.
Let me ask you, why did somebody have to go and make a law?
Exactly.
What is circumcision? That is a religious right.
Exactly.
And for now, talk about a First Amendment violation right there. I mean, that should have been in the Supreme Court of the United States lap immediately, and the Supreme Court could have, within 15 minutes, wrote something, a scathing one-pager, and they usually write 20 pages, though, you know. They could have wrote an easy one saying that you cannot violate someone's right to worship the way they want, and that's a religious.
Didn't the voters have to accept that into law? Wasn't that one of the ballots? I thought.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I said, wasn't that on a ballot where it was like during an election where the people in that community or municipality, they had a vote on it, and they all agreed to do that, or the overwhelming. Agreed.
Jerry Brown did it. Brown did it.
Oh, so that was in Oakland?
But I thought it was. I thought they gave that as an option to vote. That's what I thought.
I don't know. I don't keep up on circumcision, I guess. Wow. Holy cow.
One of the reasons she called was she wanted to promote something, and I was going to give her some time to do that, so I'll let her do that now, and then you, Fran,
cool.
And I will
Okay. Well, I do have, I think Mike sent you over a copy of the new video, the cover.
Right.
So that just came out. We still have the calendar that we're selling, the 2012. And we actually just signed with Kimmy Crew. She's going to promote me as a model. So hopefully that'll get me out there even more to the biker industry. She's trying to get me, when it comes around, time to have surges and stuff like that and some other things. So kind of excited about that.
And then, so have you... Have you gotten a lot of hits on the calendar?
You know what? We have gotten some. So we're waiting for people to, you know, they have to send their money in, their money order in first before we distribute it, you know, send it to them. But we do have a calendar to send to you, Phil. So we'll get that probably in the mail this week.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll get out there. You know, that's kind of, you know, what we're afraid of with this whole Facebook thing, though, too, because we don't know if we're losing sales with that because people aren't able to come on and, and ask about it. But, you know, we have everything on the Alicia Pleasure Fan Club at gmail.com. We have everything there. So if anybody wants, you know, information about that, they can always go there and just email us, and then we'll email you the directions on what you need to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask a question? Do you have Do you have a website now, not on Facebook?
Yes.
Then at that point, okay. Then at that point, everyone that is on your Facebook should be putting that link onto their Facebook to spread it out for people to go to your website to order. Then this way, here you already start divorcing yourself from Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, because we have the fan club. So, you know, if Facebook does it again.
Fan club is something that's not what you want is hits. And what you can do is go to Google, get a Google email account, and there's a thing on Google that's called analytics.
Yes, we have that. Yeah, we have that.
When you go to your analytics and you look at what is where your hits are coming from, is it coming from referrals? And this way here, you start looking at where this is coming from, and then you make a bigger, broader hit on those items and those that category.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. You know, I'll tell Mike is usually the one who does all that stuff, so I'll tell him to check that out. I know that we do have a couple Gmail accounts or Google accounts, so we have our camera guy. You know, he's a computer whiz, and he's always on the analytics information sheet, so he's well aware of all that stuff too. So,
I mean, that analytics will also tell you where these hits are coming from, what part of the country they're coming from. It will tell you if your hits are referrals from what groups. It will tell you.
It'll give you the IP address, though.
Yeah, it will.
What's that? Oh, okay. Oh, that's good to know.
It'll give you all the information, the IP address, everything.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because we're getting, like, friend requests from all over the world. It's amazing, you know, But I'm just, like I said, I'm afraid because we lost it once before and we lost a lot of people that it's probably going to happen again. They put us up for 30 days.
One of the photography groups that I belong to knew that that was going to happen. So what they automatically did was said, look, everyone that belongs to this group, this blog, and I need you to sign up on my website. Because this is going to go away. Then you don't lose anybody.
Right. But then what do I do with the people that are trying to friend me now that we can't accept any?
Then you start another one.
Right.
With another email address.
Yeah, we have 400 sitting there right now that want to friend us, but we can't. We can't accept one friend for...
The email address is how Facebook is set up. Therefore, if you have 6 different email accounts, you get that one going, and when it gets close to being topped out, you start opening up the other one. But meantime, anyone who signs up needs to go to your website so that you use your website as your blog, as your account, your contact point.
Okay.
You don't use Facebook.
Right.
And since you already have, and blogs are free, by the way. You can use a Gmail blog, which is free.
Oh, all right. All right, yeah, that's, thank you. Thank you for that suggestion. I think we're definitely going to go in that direction at this point because...
You don't have a choice.
What's that?
You don't have a choice.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? Right now we do have a choice. You know, we have a choice to get all the information that we can because the last time we lost it, we just lost it. We didn't have any, you know, any inclination that it was going to happen. So it's kind of the same thing that happened about 3 months ago. So we know it's coming. It's just
yeah. You can set up a blogger account. You could set up a blogger account. That's where my blog is at.
Oh, okay. All right, so we'll definitely look into that. A blogger
at
account.
At that point, you also start your own radio show, which I believe you already have.
Right.
And so you do your radio show. It's connected with your blog. You send out to everyone that's on that blog when the show is going to be on. I mean, I get this on my email every time. It's, you know,
oh, okay.
Right, it's Biker Night. So, and the link and the phone number for the show, everything is right there. I don't have to go looking for it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good to know. All right, well, we'll
it's
definitely...
just how my show page goes out. That's what she's talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, well, then maybe I'll have Mike get in contact with you to see how we can figure all that out. I don't know when that stuff, that's, like, beyond me. Yeah. So everybody's doing okay, though?
Yeah. Everything was good for the holidays. And it's
been
warm, nice riding weather. That's for all the people back.
I can't beat that. You know what? It's still nice around here. It hasn't gotten that cold yet, and we're on the East Coast. I think the cold weather's coming, but it hasn't been that bad.
The other day I had to put a hoodie on under my leather jacket, but other than that, it's been nice.
No, that's not too bad. I would take that any day.
It's funny, though. The hoodie, on the front of the hoodie, it says, feel the pain.
There you go. That's too funny.
So I have a weather-related story, but as with everything with me, it always boils down to how to protect yourself and your rights. It was a week ago tonight. I usually speak at this meeting near my house, about 20 miles away. And so I left. The meeting starts at 7. I left about 6:20, whatever. And I got about 2 miles away before I realized, oh crap, I forgot my coat. And it was like 34 degrees that night, man. It was a crisp one already. And but I didn't want to be late, so I just kept going. And when I was asked to, it was my turn to get up and speak, well, it was one of the first things that I did is I explained how important, and I always ask how many people have their digital recorders with them, because if they do get pulled over, you've got to record every word that's being said so that if in case anything happens, you have proof of what was said and what was not said, what was done, what was not done. And, of course, you know, like out of 50 people, you know, usually like 2 or 3 people have their recorders with them. I said, you know what? Look at me. This is how I came dressed. I got a hoodie on, you know, but I forgot my coat. But there's one thing I would have gone back, except, you know, two things. I was late, and you know, the other thing is I spent about 10 years in Minnesota. It's pronounced Minnesota. And or Minnesota, as they call it up there. But
yeah.
But I might leave the house and drive, you know, 40-mile round trip in 34-degree weather without a coat, but I wouldn't, and I pulled out of my pocket my recorder. But I would never leave the house without my recorder. I got that.
There you go.
You know, leaving the house without your recorder is...
It's called priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. It's stupider to leave your house without your recorder than it is to go to Sturgis and back without a couple of tools on your bike.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or get on your bike and get a mile and a half from the house and then realize you don't have a helmet. And then you're like, well, you know, I got to go where I'm. Forget the helmet.
Oh, well. I always got one on my bike. I always keep that big, fat, recalled one, that illegal one. It weighs about 4 pounds.
Yeah.
It was one of the ones that was in the, one of the evidence helmets in the Easy Riders trial in 1995,
mm-hmm.
Federal trial. So I always got one. I could always, if a cop wanted to tow my bike or whatever, I'd tell him, hey, you know what, I could wear that one, but it's not legal.
Well, you know, is it the first of the year they can't tow bikes or cars anymore either?
They can't? You mean what they're not allowed to do?
Yeah. But, you know, they're going to do it anyway.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what I always say. If a guy's got a badge and a gun, he'll do whatever he wants if you don't know what he's not supposed to do.
Right.
Well,
I'm going to jump in on that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's primarily because Susan Davis, and she's known as the nanny pusher, and she's pushed so many nanny laws that the officers have actually even, they have actually come out and have said, there is no way that we could even enforce half of those laws because
yeah.
you've bastardized the laws so badly, there's no place for them to go with the laws. You know, which law at that point takes precedence? The one that you get off that contradicts the one that's already on the books? Or, you know, so when you have a person like that that puts in so many useless laws that the officers can't enforce it,
yeah,
that's a crime. And an officer shouldn't be allowed to be able to do that. Or
good
not
point.
An officer, but a politician.
Good
shouldn't
well, you
be
know,
allowed.
It's just like, you know, friend, it's just like the knife law in California is illegal to carry one. See, down here by us in San Diego, they're going by what the state says. But they gave every municipality, city or county or whatever, they gave them their own authority to write it how they wanted. So what, like if I went up to see Mark and the knife I'm carrying might be a felony up there, and the knife that Mark's carrying down here is legal. Yes, it's how crazy it is, Mark.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
Now, see, for me, technically, any college, any school campus, whether it's college or not, it is illegal to have any kind of a knife or weapon on the campus. So I guess picking up that gun from a friend of mine at the airport, well, it didn't matter because John was home, so I was able to pass the gun off. But, that would not have been a good thing to have in my saddlebag.
No.
No, that would not have been good.
I got to interrupt. I have to go. I got to get this dog outside now.
Okay.
Thank you for
calling in.
Pet him for
Thanks
me.
Thanks for having me. All right. I will. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, sad to say, on that three-day weekend, I'm not going to be able to make the Bolt meeting. I'm not going to be able to make it to Sacramento.
Because you're going to do what?
I'm not going to be able to make Sacramento either.
Oh.
And that's all because it's all on the same weekend. And there's another thing going on, Nevada. So there's actually three things going on. I won't be able to make any of those because I have to work. It's always nice to have a paycheck, especially when you don't know when the next one's going to come.
True.
True.
So didn't get to have the knee surgery. And that's because they failed to inform me that I had to have clearance from my doctor so that they could do the surgery. So
wow.
The surgery didn't happen. Yeah, it's okay. It's just another event, that's all.
Well, can you reset it and reset the time clock and start over and get your clearance from your doctor and all that? How much clearance do you need? About 6 feet?
Yeah, probably.
what kind of clearance? Does he have to recommend that the surgery is necessary or something?
Even though they have already done the blood test, even, you know, when you're talking about bureaucratic bullshit,
yeah,
that's this. Because they have already done the EKG. They had already done the blood test. They had already done the chest x-ray.
Wow.
So therefore, with that information, that should have, at that point, cleared me for the surgery. And it didn't. Because they have to have recommendation from the physician that I am physically fit to have that surgery.
How hard would it have been to go to just ride over to his office and, you know, type a letter for him to sign and have him look at that and sign a letter saying, yeah, you're healthy enough to have that surgery?
There was no way that they were going to do that.
Oh, your doctor says you're not healthy enough?
Well, no, because it would have required a full physical, and there was no way that he had time to do a full physical and send that letter and fax it to the other doctor.
He's a busy guy.
Yes. So, but that's your paperwork. That's your trail. That's your all of that good stuff. Now, what's interesting is what you were talking about earlier, and I wonder how many people even know if they are on the blacklist. I know from affiliations from my younger years and protests that I've been involved in that I am on a blacklist, what do you call that? Subversive list where because you supported certain politicians that were of their beliefs, so therefore I know that I'm on a couple blacklists.
Well, you're probably in good company if the administration now or members of the administration are calling returning servicemen from Afghanistan and Iraq, they're calling them potential terrorists. So if you're on a watch list, consider yourself very lucky.
Yeah, because now I've got my equals coming home.
Sure.
So true. But that is you know, so bureaucratic where just because somebody either goes to check out something or if somebody goes and signs something that they don't even know that they're signing, you know, who knows that when these petitions, you know, who is actually putting out those petitions? And do people even really know what those petitions actually support or not support?
Yeah.
And do they really believe in what it is that they're signing? Just to have something put on a ballot, that is not a good enough reason to sign a piece of paper.
No.
So that they can put it on the ballot.
No.
Now, the best I ever heard was a person saying, "I'm sorry, I don't believe in putting my political views in public." And that was the
then you don't have one.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
That was his way. That was his way of not signing or putting his information on a clipboard. You see, which I thought was pretty clever.
Well, you know, you're not forced to sign anything on a clipboard in front of the target. But the hair on the back of my neck kind of stands up whenever I hear anybody say that they prefer to keep their political opinions private, because that initially came from the era between the 1910s, 1920s, and late 1950s, when it was dangerous as a communist to let that slip to where people knew that you were a communist. And that's where you get the general principle of never talk about religion and politics. Because no communist wanted to let it slip in this country, at least in that era, that your religion was communist politics, and politics was you were a communist. It could be hazardous to your health if you let that slip. So I say, if you're not talking about religion or politics, you're probably really boring. And if you're not boring, then your only people who are listening are the people who are boring.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about religion and politics. You're not talking about anything that matters.
Well, it should
no.
be interesting. I don't know what the new law is, but apparently there has been a new law signed dealing with how controversy with gay and lesbian and hate information and like school beatings and so forth, how that's going to be handled. I haven't actually seen.
Well, they got a law that goes on the books January 1st.
But how has it changed or will it change what is already there?
That's
other than
question.
muddying up the water to be another
right.
law that, you know, yeah.
Right.
Seems to me, I don't care what kind of things you like to do in your bedroom. It seems to me if someone's beating up on you, that's wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. I don't understand this whole...
Well, you know, the other thing that goes into effect January 1st is that your employer can no longer request credit reports.
Right.
Unless you are working or seeking work in a financial institution, law enforcement, or the state justice department. The law says that it exempts people's bank or credit card information, their social security number, and their date of birth. If you have to have access to your employer's preparatory information or trade secrets, if you sign a check or a credit card or financial contract, or you transfer money for your employer. And then it goes back to the old one, it's $10,000 in cash, or as a manager in certain industries.
I didn't know that an employer could ask for your credit report.
Yeah, it's on applications. They were doing it at where I work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but where you work is a little bit different because you've got clearances at where you work.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. I mean, I went to a party in Arizona in October, and when I went in November on the 5th and filled out my top secret clearance and everything, I had to get interviewed by NCIS, and they threw some very nice pictures on the table and asked me what my affiliations were with certain people in a certain club. I said, those are better than the ones I have at home. Can I get a copy of those?
Oh, you live such a dull life compared to you two.
I thought they were asking you to sign them as, like, you know, autograph.
Autograph.
They didn't want your autograph on those pictures?
No, but they show me all kinds of those pictures whenever I go to do that. It's usually like when I first got it 16 years ago, it was 4 hours. Now it's down to about a half. But that thing you were talking about, the schools, they call it the bullying law, and it combats the bullying of the gay, lesbian students in public schools by requiring each school district to have a uniform process for dealing with the gay bullying complaints. It mandates that the school personnel intervene if they witness the bullying. And it goes
that's going to interfere with the union rules, because the union rules don't want a teacher touching a student.
Exactly, and it goes into effect July 1st, 2012.
Well, let me ask you this. Shouldn't a teacher already be intervening if there is bullying going on?
That would be if you want reason and logic to prevail in the world. Yeah.
Right.
Like I was saying before, there's too many laws that are literally designed to fly in the face of logic and reason.
Yeah, and because of that mayor up in San Francisco, he got it passed where the California human trafficking law takes effect January 1st.
What human trafficking law?
Well, they bring women from China, they bring women from all over the world here, and then they put them in brothels. Up in San Francisco, there was just a story on this the other night on Discovery, where they were, the mayor, the guy in charge of health and a doctor, and two policemen and some women to help the women that were being held against their will and made to do prostitution. They bring them over here with the promise of a job. And one lady got here the third day she was working. She asked how much she owed, and they told her $75,000. And then they put her in their system and just moved her from massage parlor to massage parlor, working off the money.
Wow.
Other words, one more house from another.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're saying that the mayor of San Francisco made that illegal?
Yes. They have to, it's just like they have to do a, they have to take a health screening. They have to have a certificate that they went to massage school. They have to, They have to wear a doctor's smock. They can't wear pants and a shirt. They can't wear high heels. They have to be almost dressed like a nurse to do that, and they're not. These guys broke in. They opened doors with the big sledges and stuff, and guys were laying on a table under a towel, and the chick was wearing a bra and panties and high heels. And then when they seen them, they grabbed the smock and put the smock on because it's a $500 fine if they're not wearing the smock dressed correctly.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Well,
yeah.
That's our system.
Well, I'm glad they got them wearing the right stuff to do that job.
Oh, yeah.
That's important. It's really important.
Trafficking is nothing new.
No.
So,
I thought trafficking and prostitution was already illegal in California.
It was, but now what they're doing is... Well, here, what it says here, according to this, it's going to be the prototype for future legislation to be used in the all over the United States and the other nations.
Of course. It's amazing. Well, you know, I did read a study that...
They used to call it.
People see people performing the duty. If they're in a uniform, they're a lot more respected. So this is a good thing for the prostitutes. They're in a uniform. They're mandated to wear a uniform and respectable heels, comfortable shoes, and so they can perform their duties more comfortably. And they don't look like prostitutes.
Yeah, that's they good. Get a handle on everything, don't they?
Yeah, that's good. That's great. That's wonderful.
There is a website for such women. And what it is, WWE.
I'm not interested in that, Fran.
Okay. But okay.
You mean, I'm joking.
That's,
you're not trying to sell me one, are you?
Well, no. Hey, you know what? If that's what you believe in, that's fine too.
Yeah.
No, I'll talk to you. I'll just keep that stuff on my blog and make sure that people get it anyway. You think I care?
I don't know, no. But if I wanted to get a massage, I honestly believe I could tell you San Francisco is the wrong place to go get a massage.
I wasn't talking massage. I'm talking about where these women can get help.
Oh.
They don't have to be in those circumstances.
Yeah.
This is the other side of the coin.
Yeah. No, okay. That makes sense. That's a good thing. Because you knew I was a happily married guy, right?
Well, I wasn't going to intrude on your lifestyle, honey. That's what I'm doing.
Because he already said what happens in your bedroom is your business.
That's right.
That's
absolutely.
I mean, you can come to mine, but the only thing is all you're going to find is me and five cats, or excuse me, four cats, but this cat is not allowed. the other four don't accept the fifth one.
You know, I feel sorry for those cats now because, you know, they could probably all fit on John's lap. What do they do now?
Actually, believe it or not, they actually surround me.
That's great.
They really do. They surround me in bed. And
that would be a picture.
The one cat that hated to be touched makes sure that she lays at my head.
Huh.
I guess she's concerned for my well-being, so
yeah.
She stays real close. She hates to be touched, but she stays real close. Trying to figure
amazing
that one
what
out.
Animals know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
But you know what? Life is good.
Good.
Life is good.
Good.
When you have those mini seminars and that kind of thing, you ought to drop me a line just to see if I'm free enough to come up and sit in. I still have plans on, even though that John is dead, continuing with going to Sacramento. I have to get back in touch with Gil and find out that phone number for Nyssa. Because the last time that Nyssa did something, they are so well adverse, they discriminated against women participating. And I wanted to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So I want to make sure I get Ian on the list to ensure that I become part of whatever study it is so that I know what it is from the inside, and I can then become argumentative afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a lot of people don't understand, and I've had people really saying I'm doing this wrong and I shouldn't be participating and I shouldn't go into the encampment of other politicians. And it's like, boy, you're not even stupid. How can you go and fight something if you don't even know what it is that they stand for or what it is that they do? I mean, you can't fight something that you don't know about.
Exactly right. I like how you think, Fran. And not only that, if you're politically, you've got a politician who opposes you, that's exactly the politician you want to stay close to. So you not just keep track of them, but you know, make an inroad into what they think and what they should be doing and telling them why they should be doing it differently. But then again, you also have you got to have the mindset that if that politician is, most of them aren't going to change their mind. So if you got a politician that opposes you, that's the district you should be working in the next election.
But you have to know what it is that you're fighting.
Right.
If you don't know what that person stands for, like Susan Davis, I know she's a nanny pusher. She sees me and I can just see her just biting her tongue when she sees me walk through the door. And that's okay. Because a nanny pusher is a nanny pusher.
Right.
And if I can make her uncomfortable, then by God, I'm going to make her uncomfortable. And when it's either it's the helmet law or keeping families together in events such as going out on the motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is things that make a difference. You should not be telling a family that go out as a unit, stay as a group, out to the desert, and they spend a week together or 2 weeks together. I don't know too many damn families that do that anymore. And the only people that I know that do that on a regular basis are the bikers that go out to the desert. So to tell a family, a parent, that they shouldn't let their kid ride a motorcycle or a quad because it's not right. That, you know, they might get lead poisoning. I forgot they were going to fuck on the bottle. By the way, that did pan out for us. I'm sure it's not fully panned out for us, but at the moment, we're doing okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
They've realized that they're not going to suck on the battery. So the industry that they almost shut down, and they're talking about encouraging business. So let's cut down where these kids can't have motorcycles. Let's cut down the fact that now you can't buy them clothing or boots or any of those things. I see. How much money does that bring in a year? I'm not sure. let's see. How many of them have, what do you call those, toy trailers? Toy haulers? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how much do those things cost?
Depends. You can get one for $3,500 to $100,000.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
I'll just go right out and buy one tomorrow.
Get two.
Yeah, give me one.
Get you one? Well, I don't know if I can get two of them, honey. That might be a little bit more than my budget will allow this week. So but
maybe you get a deal. Maybe you get a deal if you get two, you know.
Good deal if I get two?
Yeah.
So let's cut our industry because we're concerned about our children. And, you know, when you're talking about freedoms and the rights, what rights do the parents have? I would hope that the parents have enough common sense to make a decision if their child is capable of being on a motorcycle, capable of different aspects of motorcycling.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that they have enough of all of that to make those decisions. I will admit that there are times when there are parents that really should go back to school
right.
and how to be a parent. At the same time,
we've got a caller I just unmuted from British Columbia.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Phil. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Good evening. Or what is it, daytime for you or nighttime?
It's nighttime. It's 7:30 p.m. here.
Oh, okay.
That's Fran in San Diego. That's Mark in Sacramento. I'm, of course, in Southern California, and this is Marlene from British Columbia.
How you doing, guys?
Good. We apologize for not knowing what time zone British Columbia is in.
No problem.
It's directly north of me. Yeah.
No worries.
So what do you think about what you heard so far?
It's pretty interesting. That's why I'm trying not to talk. I want to hear everything that's going on. Got to keep up with you guys. It's awesome. Wow, that's really good stuff you guys are handing out here. Learn something every day.
I'm very opinionated.
No, not you.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a really good opinion if someone's listening, right? There's a lot of crazy things happening out there, and yeah, today's time, you see a lot of young ones out there, and they think they know everything, and they get on a bike, and next thing you know, they're, get run over, they do the wrong, road rage, whatever. I see a lot of that here, actually. There was a whole bunch, like 20 cars, top-line cars out there, and they were all racing from one city to the other city, and they all got caught, and all their cars were taken away, and I'm talking expensive cars that were taken away. So it's just crazy, the young ones out there today.
They're racing. They confiscate and they don't give their cars back. It goes up for auction.
No.
They
crush them
away.
Now.
Oh, they crush them now.
That's they crush them now, and you have to take proof. You have to take proof to the court, and if you take proof, they will dismiss all that. But you'll still get the fine.
Yeah,
take your license for a year here.
Yeah, same here. But it's pretty crazy when you see that out there in the news. Like, think about 20-something, 30 cars racing along from city to city, and innocent people are walking across in the streets and stuff, right? And they're just zooming right through there like nothing. It took a while for the cops to catch them, supposedly. But
they don't have to work that
crazy.
Hard. All that just watch the video.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys saw those guys in Pennsylvania the other day, they went in and they stole $8,000 worth of stuff, money, cash, stuff from the store. They stole the computer, the cash register, everything. And then the three yahoos went home and put it on Facebook.
It's like, welcome, come arrest me now.
Probably good.
Blonde roof, man. That's funny. Oh, no.
Talk about stupid.
Yeah. And then the kid wanted to know how they got to him. They just showed him a laptop.
Oh, okay. Oh, funny.
Well, that makes the job easier for the police, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Back east, there were two guys that stole a snowmobile, and they drove it right to the barn. And so it didn't take long for the officers to follow the trail to the barn and figure out who took the snowmobile. It's amazing.
Yep.
Holy. The brains have gone.
Yeah. I got something that I always play for those guys and the guys that are listening. And maybe you guys will humor me for a minute, but I'm going to play this now. And it's a word that we all use, we all hear every day. And I use it quite a lot during conversations with guys that are wearing blue and carry a gun and a badge. And I think you guys will enjoy this. But humor me for a minute. It's about 2 minutes and 21 seconds long.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with a letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw, oh, fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question, inquiry, who the fuck was that, dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. Fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
I thought I'd just slide that in there for a little humor.
Good one.
So, Fran, you were saying...
What part, honey?
What do you got going for the weekend, Fran? I thought for sure you were gonna say
what fucking part?
That's
one of my favorite words. I get in trouble for it at college, but yeah.
I threw that out there. I figured she'd bite, but she missed it.
Yeah, missed that.
No, I try to be nice, reasonable. You don't think I can be nice and reasonable?
Huh?
You don't think I can be nice and reasonable?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's your story. You tell it any way it sounds good.
Well, thank you. I will. But I know you got, well, you might be here, your driver, on Sunday, which is the New Year's Day.
Yeah, I talked to Bill about that. He said, what time is it? I said, I think it starts at 8. He said, I don't get up till 9. And he said, well, let me think about it.
I don't think it starts that early, the Dead Bird Run. People are going to gather early. I'm going to be there early because I'm going to have final option. Final option will be cooking breakfast.
Right.
And John is going to go for the ride. So I'm going to put him in a sack and put him on the back of the bike.
Okay.
He should have his last ride, you know. So I'm going to put him on the back of the bike and go for a ride.
Okay. So what time's all this kick off? And I'll tell the old guy.
Let me go see if I can find out. I've got two computers going at the same time now. I've got John. Yeah. But that is what I'm hoping for. And
Well, I say I'm going to be there early because, once again, I'm not going to pass up or someone else cooking for me because I don't cook much anymore.
Right.
And it's wonderful having someone else cook. And they have really done a fantastic job. Let's see, that's an open house, Harley Sweetwater. That's not quite it. This is, yes, Cat. The cat is begging for something. I can't believe this. How many people actually cater to a cat? And then, of course, you know, the celebration of life. That's not going to be until the 28th.
Right.
And I'm having bad moments and good moments.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking forward to it. And let's see. That's tomorrow's birthday party. No, we're not going to a birthday party tomorrow. Let's see. So here's final option.
Well, I know their breakfast starts at 8, I think.
Okay.
If I'm not...
Their breakfast is going from 8 to 10.
Right, right.
So chances are, okay.
Right, it'll be after.
Okay, food will be shut down at 10 instead of noon. Okay. This is the day of eating, so at that point, then the dead bird run should start after that.
Okay.
Same place. I can't actually see a time when the dead bird run starts, but if they're shutting down at 10.
Probably 10:30.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
I think last year it was at 10:30.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm going to go for breakfast, and I'm packing John. Oh, God, he's going to sit in the bitch seat. Oh, dear. It's the lightest he's ever been that I can put him there. Little inside humor there, for those of you who know him. But, yeah. And then, you know what? Just going to have some fun. Just to have some fun.
Okay.
I'm not sure where the dead bird run is going to go, but always dress comfortably and have plenty of layers on your motorcycle. There was one year that John and I had gone on their dead bird run, and we were actually up by Ramona, actually Julian, and it was like getting down to 30. It was a little brisk. And it was interesting because it was interesting how many people that I actually dressed on that run because they were cold.
Yeah.
I don't mind. It's kind of nice with that stuff that I dress people with.
Yeah, when I leave between 4 and 4:30, it's usually like the last couple of weeks it's been in the 30s.
Yeah.
So I stopped wearing the beanie helmet and I put on the full face.
I still wear the beanie. The cold.
My nose was getting so cold it would take an hour to defrost.
No. You know what's even better than that is I made a leather. In fact, I got to find it. A leather mask that I can actually breathe in.
Well, you got that little. You got that little petite nose. I got that big honker.
What's difficult with that is when the grass is green. You know, I mean, that gets a little tough when your tears freeze to your glasses. Because I used to have to be to work at 5 in the morning. And that was pretty cold. In fact, it was colder here than when I was up in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Kind of hard to believe, but that was true. It was actually colder here.
So what else is going on in British Columbia? How's that stuff going with the clubs?
Oh, good. Doing good here. We got nothing but rain here, and it's like 9 Celsius, so it's not the greatest weather, but it's not our winter snow that we usually get, and we'll probably get it next month. So not looking forward to January, so they say.
Yeah. Well, there's,
you know.
Like right now, we're getting some real cold stuff that we don't usually get, but during the day, it's in the mid-60s to mid-70s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right on.
I mean, the last few days after the morning, it's been great riding up and down the coast.
Yeah, believe it or not, a week ago, I actually could see the Harleys out. I went, yes, they're still hanging in there. They're boys. It's nice to see the bikes are still out, and it's December. Because usually my brothers, they put their bikes away in storage in October. So we must be doing good if the bikes are still out there.
Well, that was what I was going to ask. Now, because, like, I know, like, my cousin in New York, I mean, he's got studs on his tires so that he rides even during the winter. Now, because it rains so much, now, do people there still ride during the rainy season, or, like, you
pretty
said,
much because, pretty much because the rain comes and goes during the day. So I still will hear the Harleys riding up and down here on my street here, and I went, oh, it's so nice to know that they're still being able to get out there. Because usually, you know, like I said, they don't ride at this time of year. It's pretty bad weather. But, no, we've actually, this is a pretty good month this month for the bikes, so it's good to still see them out there. Definitely.
Yeah, I had an experience. I was riding another bike that I was given by the shop where the guy was riding my bike and got hit. But, I had the bike back. I got it back on Saturday. I went to Kaiser to pick up my meds, and I parked on the other side of the stall, right next to handicap parking, which I've always parked in this spot. And as I stopped to let a guy and his wife, she was in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank, I let them cross the driveway, and then I parked, and I went in and got my stuff. When I came out, my bike was knocked over. Guy's car, he turned all the way to the left to back out and knock my bike over.
Oh, fuck. Not good.
He's 87 years old. He has no license, no insurance.
Aww.
He uses the car to take his wife back and forth to the doctor. And he saw I was getting a little upset, and it took all I had not to give him a crack because he said, well, it's just a motorcycle. I'm in negotiations with his son right now to give me the money to get everything done.
Did he have a DMV bond or absolutely no proof of
nothing?
Using
the sticker off his son's license plates to drive the car.
Oh,
he said
no.
He's been doing it for a while now, and he's never gotten caught or had a problem. And I said, well, it's the first time for everything.
Yeah, till now, buddy. Wow.
Yeah,
now he's caused a little problem.
We're at $1,234 to fix all the stuff. Got the other guy, I had just gotten replaced because the mechanic had taken my bike out to test ride it, and it got away from him, and he had a car in front of him. He was like 300 yards back, hit third gear, and tried to pass the guy on the right and rode into the side of the car. So $6,000 later.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jeez, eh?
You know, if it was me, I would, on the old guy that knocked your bike over, don't just have him pay for the parts and all that. You know, when somebody ran into me, luckily it was in my truck, they rear-ended me at a red light, and it was the same kind of thing, old guy, except he didn't have insurance either, but he had a DMV bond. In other words, he showed financial, you're not required to have insurance, you're required to show financial responsibility, enough money to pay for something, right. So he had a $50,000 bond sitting at the DMV, which that's cool, so he wasn't breaking the law. And his son did all the financial stuff, but I charged him basically what usually happens if a lawyer's involved, it's about a third for medical, third for part, generally third for parts and a third for the lawyer. So
yeah.
I charged him all that. I just tripled everything that was going to cost for the parts and repair of the truck. And I figure I'm my own lawyer. And then, I paid my chiropractor out of that. So
wow.
Parts times three, or in other words, your vehicle times three, and then unless you have a lawyer, and then you got to charge for that too.
Right.
But you might not. It doesn't sound like you need one.
No, it's I played phone tag for a couple of days, which I thought they were giving me the runaround.
Yeah.
So I took that phone number and I made a phone call and I was given the address, and I paid a visit and knocked on the front door and got that look of a real look of surprise, but I also got told that 2 weeks and I'll have all your money.
Yeah, that sounds like what happened to me. After I knocked on the old man's door, I got a phone call from the son saying, I will take care of all my dad's stuff from now on. He must have got scared.
Yeah.
And I don't even look as scary as you do, Phil. I don't even look scary like you do, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm not scared. Me.
You look scary to me. You look pretty scary to me. Anyway, I'm going to have to get going. It was a great time talking with you guys. I appreciate the international call. Awesome. I like that.
Yeah, we get them.
Got to catch up.
We get them from all over.
Cool.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take us out with a song. And,
all right.
This one is, let me get to it real quick. This one's by my friend Charlie Baker out of Nashville. And it's called, I have to get to it, but it's called Ride. Loading up right now. There we go.
All right. Well, I apologize. I'm sorry I won't be able to see either of you guys in Vegas on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, but next time.
Yeah, I'll get you some autographed pictures there, buddy.
Keep the 4th of July open to come up to Sacramento, 4th of July weekend. Come up to Sacramento for the next Bolt Summit.
Is that when you're going
to
do it?
Yeah, 4th of July. 4th of July comes in the middle of the week, but it'd be the weekend. It's turning into a tradition at my house, 4th of July weekend.
So can I still pitch my tent in the backyard?
Absolutely. I'll turn the sprinklers off even.
You've got a dog, right?
Oh, I got three dogs.
Well, can I have one for the tent?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, no, they have a whole run of the house and the backyard and everything. You just got to, what we do is when people are living here for the weekend, we just got to make sure they understand if you go out the front door, you got to keep them from coming out with you and make sure the door latches behind you. Otherwise, they'll get out there. They'll try to drive, you know, they'll be out in the middle of the busy intersection and stuff and they'll get hit. You know?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No.
No.
So everybody's usually pretty good. The dogs stay in the house and in the backyard, and they got a doggy door, so they can go in and out the back into the house and out into the back if they want. But if there's a whole bunch of people, we park bikes in the garage, and we can roll them into the backyard, too. I got an RV access kind of a thing where my truck goes into the back, so you can sleep right next to your bike if you want.
Well,
but I got a
3,200
square foot house. There's plenty of space if you know if it's too hot out there at midnight, you can come in the house.
Yeah, it should be all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't. According to Fran, she does everything all natural, so I'm sure she'll be comfortable.
Oh, the dogs will love that. they do too. Except for, did you see on my Facebook my dogs. They wear Santa hats during Christmas, so my wife's taking pictures of them wearing their Santa hats.
Oh, that's cute.
What was that?
Sorry? 1 minute here. I've got the calendar before me, and so July 1st is a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So are we doing Friday to that whole week, or are we doing, what are we doing?
The weekend, I don't know if, you tell me, Independence Day is the 4th, so what's the 4th of July weekend? What's the weekend everybody's going to take off? I don't know, is that the 1st or is that the 7th?
Well, Friday is the 8th.
No, you're looking at last year.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That is last year.
I think it's Sunday this year.
First is Sunday, the 7th is Saturday, and 8th is a Sunday. So I don't know if the holiday weekend is before the 4th or after the 4th.
They usually do it after. I don't know too many that do it before. They always seem to do it after or whichever is closest to what weekend.
I know, and since it's actually on a Wednesday, it's like, you can't tell. And there's nothing on my calendar that tells me when is the official, you know, weekend where the, you know what I could do? I'll let you know. I'm going to look at the, like next door to me is Folsom, city of Folsom. And they usually have a rodeo. And so I should be able to skip ahead and see what weekend their rodeo is, because it usually coincides with that 4th of July weekend. So I'll see when the rodeo is, and I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
Well, meantime, I'm going to block off the 3rd to the 7th.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to hold off on all your important plans until, you know, 10 minutes, until I can let you know when July, when you're going to be here.
Well, I just need to get a babysitter for the pets, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, you guys, play me out, man, play me out. I want to hear that music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever play any Charlie Brightell stuff?
Once in a while.
I love that guy, man.
Usually when I ask him first, but, this is Charlie Baker. He's out of Nashville, Tennessee, and this song is called Ride.
Cool.
And I want to thank everybody for calling in and participating in the chat room and on the phone. And like I said, this is Charlie Baker. It's called Ride.
In her eyes, smell of her hair.
All right, good night, everybody. Fran, I'll ring you up tomorrow.
Okay, honey, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Good night, everybody.